Hospital is where you go when something is wrong, when you're scared, vulnerable, and trusting that people in those scrubs are there to heal you. You send your loved ones through those doors. My face still feels hot from this weekend. I'm pretty sure I got sun.
Yeah, got a little bit.
I could just be hot, I guess.
Maybe.
I'm in a sweater and sweatpants. You're in a t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
It's one of the first times that I've actually been hot in this room.
I think it got pretty warm today.
Yeah.
Of course, this room isn't very well ventilated.
Not very, no.
At all.
In the least bit.
Nope.
Too bad I didn't marry an HVAC guy that could fix that.
Not my house. Not my problem.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, we did it again. Recording on Sunday. We had the best of plans. Got busy. Then we had softball all weekend. I was going to try to get some done Saturday, but I forgot my laptop.
Okay, girl.
I did. We were rushing out of the house. And we had a bunch of other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. You had that laptop today, though, didn't you?
And I did some research today. But somebody and my son had to bring the dog to the ballpark.
I had her the whole time.
Yeah, I told you I wasn't doing it. I didn't agree. Even though you sent her to the concession stand with me.
She needed to go to the bathroom.
No, she didn't. Your son already took her to the bathroom.
Mm.
You said she needed a walk.
Oh, well, maybe she did.
I can't. I can't with you. So regardless, we're starting this on Sunday night, and it's supposed to be posted tomorrow. One of these days, I will get caught up again, and I won't have to go to bed at midnight trying to get all this done.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe myself, but I'm speaking it into existence. I'm going to make it happen.
Okay.
You could have a little bit of faith. Slowing down at work a little bit. I'm hoping after this week it'll be smooth sailing. I've got a couple of big orders that I got to get out this week, and then it should be okay. I just have to get through tomorrow.
Yeah.
Other than that, what do you got? You got anything? Anything important?
No, not really. Unless you're following my extreme biking incident. I'm starting to mend, finally.
You're starting to heal?
Yeah.
Really have a whole lot either. I've been kind of watching the Nancy Guthrie case, but nothing's really happened. It seems like it's kind of stagnant.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Those disappearances like that where you don't have answers are so hard for me because I'm just like, what? What happened? Where are they at? Where'd they go? Who did it? It's crazy. And even the TikTok one that we were kind of following this summer, I think his name's David or something like that. It looks like they're finally pursuing charges against him, possibly, or he's the main source of, or the main suspect, maybe, or something. I don't know. I read it very briefly. I need to read more on it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
The singer, and they found I think she was like 14 or 15-year-old girl in his trunk.
That sounds familiar.
Tori and I talked about it a little bit. And Yeah, that's about all the true crime I've been doing. I'm watching.
Yeah. I have not done anything.
Obviously. About any new podcasts? Have you been listening to any new podcasts or shows?
Well, I started watching some of Mr. Ballin's again here recently.
Yeah.
And I have another episode I think I'm going to start researching too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found a new podcast. It's not true crime. It's not paranormal. This is for the moms. It's called Moms Against Mommin. They've only dropped 2 episodes, and it's really good. I like it. They're funny. They're chaotic. I like it. So I've been listening to them. So shout out to them. I've talked to them a little bit on social media. It's been kind of fun watching their journey.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't have anything. For the book girlies, help me convince that Josh needs to read Fourth Wing and how good of a book it is. It is so good. You need to read it. You've got to read it.
I'm way too busy.
You are such a liar. With the amount of time that you spend on that toilet, you could read it within like 3 days.
Nah.
Okay. Well, moving on. It's a good book. I'm fixing to start the third one, and it's so good. I keep holding up on my wire. There we go. Oh, we got some more personal stories from some from JC and maybe one or two others. So
yeah,
maybe those will start coming in now.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So hurry and get them to us. We're hoping to make that like a once a month thing. Maybe like the first Monday or the last Monday of the month.
I don't remember what
I think it was. The last Monday of the month, we are going to release an episode more like last week, which I think we got a lot of good feedback on it. You guys seem to like us just sitting around and chit-chatting. So send us your personal stories, or maybe we'll pick a subject just to talk about. Send us something you want us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do it. Just have some fun.
Yep.
Sound good?
Nope.
The hell was that? Oh, Lord. Well, today's case is a hometown case. Very well known, I think even farther than just around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a case like this is bound to be a national story.
It's wild, y'all. It's wild. Because things like this... They always say, oh, it doesn't happen here. We never lock our doors, yada, yada, yada. But it really, especially our true hometown, things like that normally don't happen. And like I said, but then the last year we've had a couple. It's been kind of weird. I don't know if times are changing, if we're just, our area is growing so much that people are on top of each other and just going crazy. I don't know.
I mean, that may have something to do with it, but I think, like you said before, things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, even now, the dollar just doesn't go very far at all.
You're really old. That's where your mind goes.
Well, I mean...
No, it's very true. I agree. Even just like at the ballpark this week... We got these lemonades. They were good. They were amazing. I love these lemonades. They were like $9 for a jug of lemonade.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
M&M's. M&M's were like $2 or $3.
Yeah, they were insane. And when we went to that Mexican restaurant that one night and paid $160 for enchiladas.
Yeah. I got nachos, and not even loaded nachos. They were literally just cheese and beans. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else got enchiladas. $140. And there's only 5 of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Or maybe it was $160 after the tip.
I can't, y'all. Yeah. Things are crazy. Our world is crazy. There's a lot of crazy things happening right now. It's kind of scary.
Yep.
I just don't know how to feel about that. So, we're going to focus our anxiety on, instead of what's happening right now, what has happened, and that way we at least have closure. I think that's why I do the kind of deep dive into these, like, true crime and stuff, is I crave that knowledge and seeing what happened, because in my mind I'm like, okay, well, if I take all this in, I can study up on it and, like, prepare myself. Like, it's like I'm studying for a test that I hope I never have to take, but if I do, I'm prepared. Does that make me crazy?
That's not the only thing that makes you
crazy. Oh, okay, good to know. All right, well, with that said, I guess, are you ready to jump in?
I suppose so.
I mean, you already wrecked a bike last week. Might as well just jump around. Jump in. They thought it was funny.
Do we need one of those buttons whenever you make a terrible joke?
We're moving on. So how much knowledge do you have of this case?
To be honest, not much.
Not much. I knew the gist of it, but I didn't know how many he killed and or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like one or two, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that surprised me. I didn't fart. I moved my feet.
I don't believe you.
Okay. So James Blanks, he was on vacation with his wife. His wife's name is Kay. They went to New Orleans and he had a heart attack while they were there. What a way to start a vacation. What are they doing?
I have no idea.
Kids are out there partying it up, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what they're doing. Anyways, they went to New Orleans and he had a heart attack. What a way to start your vacation. Go and have a heart attack.
Yeah, no kidding.
I guess he got treated. He was okay. He seemed to be doing better. 8 months later, they are in Las Vegas, and he has a second heart attack.
Oh, man.
So they obviously got him checked out, and they're like, look, buddy, you need to have open heart surgery. You are just causing more and more damage, and we need to try to prevent it and see what we can do to help you. So in early January of 2017, James would undergo a triple bypass surgery at Christus Mother Francis in Tyler, Texas, which is literally right down the road from us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Christus Mother Francis was named one of the nation's 100 top hospitals by Truven Health Analytics, a recognition based on clinical performance, patient safety, outcomes, readmissions, and efficiency across major services, including surgery and cardiac care. I didn't realize it was ranked that high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty high, from my understanding.
Yeah. Well, in U.S. News and World Report rankings, the hospital was highlighted as one of the top hospitals in Texas and recognized specifically for excellence in heart bypass surgery, heart failure care, and aortic valve surgery, among other procedures. Well, Kay and James truly believed that he was going to the right place for the best care. Kay was not allowed to stay in his room the night of the surgery. I think she kind of had to stay in the waiting room. I guess I can imagine. I mean, they're opening your chest up. You're all that bacteria and everything. You got to be careful, I'm sure.
Yeah, you have to be very careful.
And she did say, though, that he had a nurse, and that nurse would just come out to the waiting room or call her almost every 30 minutes just saying, hey, he's doing great, he's come out of it, you know, and giving her updates. And all through the entire night, he's doing great, he's doing good, everything went well and as expected, nothing's wrong. And then, so I'm guessing that I was kind of confused. I think the next day she had gone home maybe to probably get some sleep, shower, change. She can't be in the room with them anyways. And She came back home. She came back to the hospital, and James was doing well. He was walking. He was talking, like, perfectly normal. Kay came in to see him, and he was sitting in the chair in this in his hospital room. Kay even recalls him, like, kind of waving her, like, come here, give me a kiss. And she said that she did, and she was expecting just, like, a quick peck. Nothing, you know, nothing crazy. Just a quick peck, like, hey, we did it, here we are. And when she leaned in for the kiss, they just kind of lingered there for a moment. And, like I said, just kind of soaking it in. Emotions had been high. He's doing well. And I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but Kay would say that she now believes that was God's way of giving them one last goodbye, because at 2 a.m., Kay would receive a call from the hospital letting her know that James had passed away suddenly.
Yeah, I just watched an interview with her talking about this, and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. And again, he was doing fine. He seemed perfectly fine after the surgery. Nothing was wrong. He was walking, talking, and she gets a call, you know, go home, get some sleep, get some rest. It's been crazy. And you get a call that he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Kay could not understand what was happening. He seemed to be doing so good up to that point. And the surgeon would basically tell Kay that they didn't know what happened. Like, they have no idea. There's nothing that should have happened. No sign showing something would happen. They basically said, we don't have any answers as to what went wrong. And that's how it stayed. It was undetermined. Well, then on June 14th, 2017, another patient, 74-year-old John Lafferty, went into heart surgery. John graduated from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. He served 31 years in the Criminal Investigations Division of the IRS as a special agent. He then retired and moved to East Texas to become a farmer and a rancher, and was a member of the Wood County Master Gardener Club. So he was like, I'm going to retire and just live the life. Live the country life. After the surgery was completed, it was considered a success. Oh my gosh. He was talking. He seemed to be doing great. When suddenly, Lafferty would die while he was recovering in the hospital. Again, doctors were completely stunned. All signs pointed to Lafferty recovering and going home soon. They had no idea what happened. It was sudden, and they would end up ruling it undetermined. Then on July 25th, 2017, just 39 days after John Lafferty's death, 68-year-old Ronald Clark is recovering from a successful vascular surgery. Just 24 hours after his surgery and him again progressing great, doing wonderful, he is suddenly pronounced brain dead.
Wow.
They reviewed his surgery, everything leading up to it, everything after. Again, could not find a single reason for his death. August 2nd, 2017. So, I mean, these are just literal months apart. Months apart. 47-year-old Army veteran Christopher Greenaway was admitted to the Christus Trinity Mother Francis Hospital for a coronary artery bypass graft surgery. He seemed like the perfect candidate. He was younger than the other gentleman that had passed. He seemed to be in great health. I think I seen where he was actually a active paramedic when he went in for the surgery. He all of a sudden suffered an unexplained
neurological
incident. I'm so tired. I even took a nap on the way home.
I know.
I'm still tired.
Hey, ghostly gang. The case is cold, and the vibes are haunted.
We've got murder notes, EMF spikes, and no business being awake this late.
But thanks to W Energy Drink, we have clean energy with no crash, so we can hyperfixate on timelines, suspects, and whether or not the attic is haunted or a squirrel is hiding his nuts.
The flavors are criminally good. Like, we destroyed the evidence good. Not a drop could be found.
It's zero sugar, no artificial colors, and delivers terrifying levels of focus and mental clarity. Perfect for connecting red string and angering spirits.
Hit dubby.gg.com.
Use promo code GGP for 10% off.
Dubby, fueling guilty in the ghostly while the killer's still out there.
And the house is still haunted.
The Army veteran was declared brain dead, and then he ended up dying on August 6th. At this point, the hospital is baffled to have three sudden deaths of patients that were seemingly in great health in such a short amount of time to suddenly pass with zero explanations as to why. So they started looking internally. They started checking their equipment used during the operations. That checked out. Everything was great. They went through the medications that were administered, thinking, you know, did we give them the wrong thing? All of those checked out. Everything was fine. There was absolutely nothing to point to a cause of these unexplained deaths when they seemed to be doing so well after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital decided to, we're going to start investigating. We're going to see what's up. They decided to install cameras in the hallways so that they could monitor anyone who came in and out of the rooms, which to me, 2017, you would figure they already had cameras in the hallways.
You would think so. But sometimes it seems like those hospitals grow so quickly at times. I mean, yeah, just from the time that we've lived here,
mm-hmm,
and the amount of growth at that hospital, I can only imagine how hard it would be to keep up with a lot of that stuff on every single hallway.
And I'm sure HIPAA violation, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It'd be harder, maybe. I don't know. I just thought that was weird that there wasn't already cameras. And maybe they had cameras, just not in those specific hallways, you know.
And that's a possibility, too.
Yeah. Well, they decided to install cameras in the hallways so that they could monitor anyone coming in and out of the rooms. January 25th, 2018, 58-year-old Joseph Kalina was recovering from his operation. No complications from the surgery. He was talking. He was doing well. They did put him in ICU to be closely monitored, just to, you know, be safe. His nurse needed to grab lunch right quick and asked fellow nurse William Davis to keep an eye on his patients while he was out. So let's talk about William Davis.
Okay.
William Davis was from the Tyler area. He grew up in a family of six. He was the oldest of four boys. Well-liked by his peers and parents, he was second in his class and a football star. So, seemed to be smart. Football, everybody loved him. He was likable. One of the forensic psychologists said that he seemed to be like a big fish in a small pond. So, where he was at, he did seem like this super smart, super athletic guy, but it's also such a small town that it's kind of easy to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But he thrived that way. And again, I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit. Once he started working within the hospital and going through life, that pond expanded. And so he's no longer the big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And she wonders if that doesn't have something to do with what's fixing to happen.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Well, at around 17 years old, William began pursuing a 13-year-old girl. Her parents would disapprove of the relationship. They basically told him to kick rocks. Like, we don't approve of this. We don't want it happening. We don't want you having anything to do with her. But William continued to try and pursue the relationship, not really caring what the parents said. And I've seen another couple of interviews where he kind of had an issue with authority. Like, they would tell him something, and he was kind of, I guess, because he kind of got away with everything. He's like, I'm Mr. Big Shot, so those rules don't apply to me. Which is interesting, again. Yeah. He didn't care, and he basically became obsessed with this girl. There was even one point that he crashed his car into a tree in front of her house, and the police finally would have to step in and be like, that's enough. Like, you've got to stop. He ended up getting mental health treatment due to the incident, and he would eventually graduate from high school and start going to college. But once he got into college, he would show more signs of trouble. Mm-hmm. He was diagnosed with depression and bipolar disorder. He was prescribed medication, but William didn't believe that diagnosis was correct. He's like, I don't think that's right. And he basically just would not take his medicine, which that happens a lot too with people with mental illness. Or they'll start taking the medicine, they'll start feeling better and be like, oh, I'm fine, and quit taking it. And then the imbalance happens again, and it's just a continuous cycle.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yes. So he didn't believe in the diagnosis. He kind of quit taking his medication. He would end up getting married the first time. It ended up in a divorce. Well, while he's going through all these struggles with his mental health, he would meet his second wife, and they ended up getting married. And then he would return back to school for his nursing degree. And it really seemed like he was finally making good strides, going in the right directions, got a new wife, starting a new family, going back to school to get his nursing degree. So everything seemed like it was going good. And in 2013, William begins working at Mother Francis and continues his education, trying to get his master's degree while he's working, which, good on you. Like, Mallory went through that, and you see how much work goes into that. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of stress. Colleagues described him as very friendly. He was very well liked. He primarily worked the cardio unit, but would float to other departments like the ICU unit. I just realized that. Oops. He would float other departments like ICU. And at this point, his wife is pregnant with their second child. And they're looking for a new home. So he's working full time. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just trying to kind of show where maybe the...
like maybe a mental break happened or
maybe.
Something.
Maybe. So he's got a new wife, second kid on the way, working full time, getting his master's, looking for a new house. I can imagine the stress. Again, not excusing it, but I can see where, like, that's a lot of stress. And if he's already had previous mental health issues, just one of those things could trigger it, let alone all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And with all those stressors, one thing that it seemed to trigger would be a bad spending habit. My elbow keeps popping. William started spending money that he basically didn't have. New cars, new swimming pool, new house, just anything and everything. Whether he had the money or not, if he wanted it, he would find a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up getting to a point where his wife would take over the finances, trying to dig them out of this hole that they were in, because William had racked up about $135,000 in debt.
Holy crap.
He was losing control of everything, and just like in the past, when that happened, William begins to spiral. He would even send a text message to a coworker asking if they had anti-anxiety medication before he got into trouble. So that's kind of the backstory on William. So let's go back to Joseph Kalina, the patient that William was asked to watch while the other nurse went to go get lunch.
Okay.
And that's where we're at. the nurse, you know, went to go get lunch. He asked William, keep an eye on my patients. And as the regular nurse walks back in from his break, Joseph's monitor was going off. Joseph suddenly began to crash. The nurse and doctors began working on Joseph, all while William stood in the doorway of the room, just watching. They were able to save Joseph, but 2 days later, a scan would reveal significant brain damage.
Wow.
Due to the sudden episode, the hospital began reviewing video of the hallway before the sudden decline. William Davis is seen entering Joseph's room and then exiting shortly after. William then goes down the hall and he begins watching the monitors that, you know, the big screens that have like all the patient's vitals and stuff. So he goes down to the end of the hall and he's watching that monitor. And then he would go and look down the hall kind of towards his room and then go back to that monitor and keep watching it. And he did it a couple of times. And then you see the other nurse come in and then like kind of chaos ensues after that. And then it shows another picture of, you can't, obviously you can't see what's going on in the rooms, but you can see the door to Joseph's room. And William is literally standing in the doorway just watching as they're trying to save this man's life.
What a creep. There's something wrong with this dude.
Insane. Insane. Just wait till I tell you some more. His excuse for doing it is literally bananas. Bananas. So after that happened, they, like I said, they were able to save him. The hospital ends up bringing William in to question him. Will would say that he entered the room to turn off an alarm for the IV pump. However, they were able to tell that Joseph's arterial line had been messed with, and it was on the opposite side of the bed as the IV pump. So there's no reason, if he was just turning off an IV pump, why was this messed with? It's not like he could have accidentally touched it. It's on the opposite side of the bed. So they're like, red flag. Something's not adding up. They realize that he's obviously lying and immediately suspended Will, sent him home, and they immediately called the police because they were like, something's going on with our patients. Like, there's just too many happening. Something's going on. So they immediately suspended him, sent him home, and called the police in.
Well, at least they did something about it, I guess.
It seems like pretty quickly. You think pretty quickly, but then you're like, all these lives were affected. But the way he did it, it's just...
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. So, of course, with this being said, they also began suspecting him of harming other patients. So they start reviewing all the patients with unexpected outcomes to see if they could link Will to any more of them. The hospital and the police also ended up issuing a statement urging any family members that suspected anything to come forward. So they're like, if your loved one died, they seem to be doing great, they had the surgery, and there were something unexpected happened, call us, let us know, because they want to be able to pinpoint certain ones to go to start investigating. And that is when Kay Blanks, the woman I was telling you about, received a message about it from a friend telling her, hey, you need to watch this because of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So she did, and she did end up reporting it.
Could you imagine hearing the news that something like that had happened and that's where your loved one dies?
Yeah. And that's, again, I'm jumping ahead of myself and I don't think I really touch on it later. This woman, the interview, I actually was watching the same one that I heard you watching it.
Mm-hmm.
The way she tells the story, you can tell she loves her husband. Yeah. She loves her husband. If it were me, I could so easily be angry at everybody. The hospital, him, and not be able to get past that. But she does. And even during, again, I'm jumping ahead, during the trial, she tells him, like, I forgive you because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I can't go to God and go to heaven if I don't. God wants us to forgive. So I will forgive you. But you have to answer for what you did. And that's on you. Mm-hmm. And just the way she, I don't know. Like I said, I could see myself being very angry at the hospital, at him, at everybody for these absolutely no reason for these families to be affected by this just because some guy decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, there's not, at least she doesn't show any anger. When she talks about her husband, all you see is like love. And it's just so, so sweet.
Yeah, it is. So maybe one day my wife will talk about me like that.
Not today. We spent too much time at the ballpark together, but not today. I'm just kidding. I love you.
I don't believe you.
Whatever. You made me dinner. I like you a little bit.
I just made tacos.
They were great.
And I called you pretty. Fed you tacos, called you pretty. What more do you need?
I'm very needy.
Maybe so.
Well, the investigators knew that Will had lied about touching Joseph's arterial line, and they believed that he injected air into the line. With all the symptoms and everything that he was having, they're like, what else could it be?
Mm-hmm.
The
That word is killing you.
The arterial line is not used to inject anything. If you inject air into it, the air would travel up the artery and into the highest point of the body, which is typically the brain. This then blocks blood from getting to the brain and basically causing a stroke. The air is then absorbed into the brain and it disappears, making it nearly impossible to detect and to find any cause when if it's done. As the doctors are investigating to see if that was truly a possibility of what happened, the police begin questioning Will. During questioning, Will would bring up questions about the arterial lines without the police even mentioning them.
Oops.
Oopsies. It's like a little kid telling on themselves. And
yeah,
that happens.
Yeah, fucked up, Will.
It happens a lot, too, with these cases. I guess you just never lose that telling on yourself.
Maybe so. And you know, a lot of the time, these people are, like, super smart.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe there's, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. I don't know what would cause that, but...
I've heard a couple of different, like, scenarios, like... They're tired of it and they want to be done. So they're kind of telling on themselves subconsciously, trying to bring an end to it. And sometimes they think they're smarter than everybody and that you're not going to catch them. The narcissist.
Maybe that's what I was trying to get at.
I think this guy is, they did say he shows a, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing him, but they did say that he showed a lot of signs and characteristics of a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, they said that when he did talk about it, specifically the arterial lines, his voice would almost like crack or like choke up. And he would be very nervous when he would talk about it. So it's like he knows he's right there on that line and he's got to be careful with what he says, not realizing he's already crossed that line.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's probably like reliving the moments in his head and trying to lie about it at the same time.
Oh, that's gross. That's gross. Yeah. That's disgusting. And that makes sense. Like with him standing there, knowing that he just tried to kill this patient and watching these doctors do everything they can to save him. And he's thinking, I did that. Like, I'm the one that did this.
Yep.
Oh, that's gross. That's gross.
This is a different kind of evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, you're in a hospital, you're vulnerable. You send your loved ones there to get better, to get help. They take most, well, all doctors and nurses, you know, they take an oath saying, mm-hmm. I will do everything I can in my power to help people. And then you specifically hurt them.
Yep.
I just cannot fathom it. Why? Why would you do it? Then why would you go? I just don't understand it. Like, it makes you want...
can't understand it.
Did he go into it thinking, I'm going to do this? Or did he go into it and then thought, I can do this and get away with it as he learned more?
I mean, I would almost hope that he discovered it by accident.
It's funny that you say that.
Really? That's odd.
I'll explain why in a minute.
That's crazy. But I mean, to me, that would, I hate to say make sense, but that would be the easiest way for somebody to discover that and then possibly become addicted with the personality that he has.
Yeah. Or the power trip.
I mean, that's, yeah,
and
that's
control.
What I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
I mean,
it's funny that you say that. I'll explain it a little bit. I don't believe it. I think he's just a sociopath, and I think he did it to gain control, but his reasoning of why he did it is along those lines. But the way he explains it, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way he explains it is like, no, you're full of shit. You did it because you're a fucking sicko. Like, there's no other way around it. You're a sicko.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Where did I go? Where are we? What did we just talk about? Oh, we were talking about him telling on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So towards the end of the interview, the detective asked him point blank, like, did you inject air into their lines? And all Will would say is that he would not answer that question without his attorney present. So detectives were like, okay, we're headed in the right direction. We're striking a nerve.
You know, good on him for using that right, because that's why that part of the Constitution's there. But he's still a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always kind of like a catch-22, is always get an attorney. Always get an attorney. It's their job to not trick you, but it's their job to get a confession.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's good cops and there's bad cops. Bad cops are going to get it no matter what, whether it's the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
Good cops are going to get the truth no matter what. Mm-hmm. But protect yourself and your rights by getting an attorney. But then again, it can be used to be like, well, you're guilty because you won't talk without an attorney. It's like, no. Yeah,
that's what they're going to say, but...
I've seen too many Netflix documentaries. Yeah, I'm getting an attorney.
We watch way too much A&E.
Yeah, I'm getting an attorney. No way.
Yeah.
So they were able to, with them knowing, like, we're onto something. We have struck a nerve with him with this. Something's going on. So they were going back through however many years that they could, looking at different patients. But for some reason, the hospital, I don't know if this was, like, policy for them, if it's policy for others. Again, HIPAA, I don't know. But they would only keep, like, super detailed notes on surgeries and patients for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't go really, I mean, they would have notes and like general notes, but not detailed notes after about a year. So for them,
was that like a company policy?
That's what I was saying. I don't know if it's just them, if it's all hospitals, yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea.
To be honest, I did not have time to look. But I just thought that was interesting. Again, they did have general notes, but not the super detailed notes. So to me, I wonder if that's something with HIPAA maybe, because I don't know. It's way above my pay grade.
I don't really know that side of things.
I don't either. Well, they were able to go back about a year, and they were able to link Will to 4 cases through CT scans and MRIs of the patients.
Jesus Christ.
So they also suspected Will of many other cases, but it would be a lot harder to prove without those detailed notes and tests and scans.
Mm-hmm.
As they dug further into his past, they found out that he hadn't been completely forthcoming about it, like the inappropriate relationship with the younger girl, some suicide attempts, living way beyond his means. And to them, again, it's all red flags showing what could have led up to this. And he just basically just left it completely out. He didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by March 7th, 2018, they were able to confirm that seven patients suffered, quote, deliberate introduction of an air embolus into the patient's arterial lines, end quote. Will knew what he was doing, and he knew it would be next to impossible to detect. He went as far as to only doing it to patients that weren't even his. So he would, like, sneak into rooms of other nurses.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he was actively trying to
hide
his attempt at killing people.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, that shows premeditation, if you ask me.
100%. 100%.
That's crazy.
Well, during an interview, Will admits to grabbing syringes before entering Joseph's room. He didn't say what he was doing with them, but he did admit to grabbing a handful of syringes before entering Joseph's room. He was only in there for about a minute before leaving. Between his admitting to being in the room, the footage showing he was in the room, all of that became very critical to the case. They were able to arrest Will in April of 2018 for the murders of John Lafferty, Ronald Clark, and Christopher Greenaway. So right now, just three of them, because Joseph is still alive.
Hmm.
He's not great, but he's still alive. He was held in the Smith County Jail on a $8.75 million bond. That's a big bond.
Very big bond.
Will would sit in jail while he was awaiting trial. While he's in jail, here's where we get to that part I was telling you about. He calls his then wife. She did divorce him, which, good on you, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her that he is not a malicious man, that he loved her and the kids. He goes on to tell her that the summer of 2017, they were struggling financially, and that was his fault. I'm going to take the blame for that. He literally goes, that was my fault. I'll take the blame for that. And I'll tell you why. It just gives me the ick here in a minute. But then he goes on to say, but I wanted you to have a nice house. I wanted you to have a nice pool. I wanted you to have a nice car. So even though he's saying it's my fault, he's turning around and saying, but it's your fault.
Trying to make her feel guilty for him doing all that stuff.
Exactly.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Exactly. That's exactly what I got from it. Yep. He said, well, yeah, I wanted a nice truck too. Don't get me wrong. But I wanted you to have those things. So he's trying to flip it around on her. He said he was trying to work as much as possible because he just couldn't afford to be off. So he had to make sure that people would stay in the ICU longer, basically for job security, so that they would have to call him in. He said, I just want you to know that Joseph Kalina, that was an accident. That was an accident. And she clocks his shit, and she was like, okay, what about all the other people? Were they just accidents? Like, what are you talking about? He was just an accident. What about all these other lives that you have taken?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh yeah, those Those were accidents, too. I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident, too.
Come on, man.
And she was like, I don't believe you, my guy. Like, that's... Nope, thanks. And then she goes on and was like, what I want you to do is man up. When you go on trial, you need to apologize to those families because they deserve sympathy because you did not give them an ounce of sympathy when their loved ones were under your care and you took their lives. Man up and apologize to them. She would also say that, you know, you reap what you sow and all of this is on you. Don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get these wives who, oh, he would never do that. He would never do that. He is not that type of guy. But then her, she's like, nope, I ain't messing with it. Like, I'm done with you. Be good for her. Which I didn't, I specifically did not say her name or much more about her. They even changed her voice in the interview. Because I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I can only imagine you not wanting to be associated with this frick because of what he did. So I specifically left that out. Then in 2020, the pandemic hit.
That was a tough time.
That was a tough year. Of course, this would delay proceedings. And sadly, in 2020, Joseph Kalina would end up passing away from what he did to him.
No, COVID did it.
No. There's the womp womp button. That wasn't it.
Hey, I tried.
Well, September 28th, 2021, Will Davis pleads not guilty to the murders of John Lafferty, Ronald Clark, Christopher Greenaway, and now Joseph Kalina. Because they're charging with him with his, too.
Mm-hmm. You said he pled not guilty?
Not guilty. It was an accident. Oopsies.
Come on.
Oopsies.
How are they going to even try to prove that bullshit?
I don't know. Well, after going through all the evidence to prepare for the trial, they were able to determine that Will was the only nurse on duty at the time of each of the incidents on that ward. Yep.
The hospital already did that fucking job for him.
Yeah. The trial would last for 3 weeks. The phone call was even played for the jury between him and his wife during the trial. They played that phone call. The prosecutor would tell the jury, he did not kill these people for money. He did it because he liked watching them die.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine having to defend a piece of shit?
We've like already that? Talked about. I don't. I mean, again, I know everybody deserves a fair trial, but if you get this guy off of this and then they go and reoffend, how do you sleep at night?
I have no idea. That has to like really fuck with somebody after
it, a while. It would have to. But then again, you get these slimy ones too, where they don't care. It's all about the game for them and winning and the money, and so they don't care if it's right or wrong. And a lot of them, I've watched interviews with them. A lot of them had said, I'm not there to prove if he's innocent or guilty. I'm just there to make sure he gets a fair trial. Now, sometimes that's on the good side to where they don't give a damn. They're just making sure that all of their stuff's upheld. And then you got the ones that say that, and they literally don't care.
I guess they kind of have an obligation for that, being in that specific position, because the Constitution does protect those rights.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in this case.
I wonder if we could get a defense attorney to come, like, talk to us and answer some of those questions. Like,
that would actually be probably a pretty cool little thing to have. Yeah. Because I am genuinely curious.
How do you sleep at night?
Yeah. How do you walk up to a lawyer and be like, hey, we have a podcast and we just wanted to know if we can interview you on how you fucking sleep at night?
Well, no, and I don't mean it like that either. I was just kind of being funny.
Well, so was
it. Honestly, how do you do that? Like, how do you morally say, I know this guy's guilty, but it's my job to make sure he gets a fair trial, and you do everything you can to make sure he gets a fair trial, and then he gets off and he's free, and then he reoffends. Like, how do you...
I would be so interested to seriously talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
I am genuinely intrigued.
I bet we could find somebody. I bet we could.
Surely
we could. Let me put some feelers out there. Maybe I could find somebody.
I bet we could. Actually, you know what? I bet probably knows somebody.
Maybe. Maybe we should reach out.
Yeah.
Good idea. Okay. Well, future episode idea. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Look for that one, guys.
I may bleep her name out just in case.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So the trial would last for about 3 weeks. The phone call was played. The prosecutor, of course, told the jury it wasn't for money. It's because he's a psycho and he's sick. And the jury would go start their deliberation. You want to take a guess on how long it took them to reach a verdict?
30 fucking seconds is all it would take.
In trial time? Yeah, basically 1 hour. That's it. 1 hour.
Yeah, that's as long as it took them to get to the back, sit down, get everybody shut up for a minute.
Drink their drink, eat their food.
Yeah, and read the question.
Yep.
Guilty or not guilty?
Yep.
Everybody raise their hand.
So he is found guilty on all 4 accounts of capital murder.
Good.
Loved ones of the victims were allowed to give their victim impact statements. And William Davis was never tried for the death of James Blanks, Kay Blanks' husband, the first victim.
That's unfortunate.
William Davis was sentenced to death. He remains on death row at the TDCJ Polunsky unit in West Livingston, Texas. And I tried to find like an update, like when he's going to be executed, but I couldn't really find anything.
Yeah, they usually sit there for a while.
Yeah, I think the last update that I could really find was 2023, and that was it.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how long they sit for a while, but it's
a while.
Yeah, and I understand why. Because
they have to have an appeal, or they can appeal.
There is an appeal process, but at the same time, there have been people that have been convicted of these things, put to death, and later found out that they were innocent.
Yeah, and that's where that may be again another good podcast episode. It's just the death penalty. It's definitely not white and black. Like, there's so much gray area to where, like, if they're guilty and you can prove they're guilty, 100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not 100%. And it's those innocent people that are killed that is just like, that makes me feel a little gross. I don't like that.
It does.
So, and that's like, well, just make sure they are. Well, okay, great. But here's the thing. We're all humans. Mistakes happen, whether accidentally or if they purposely, you know, dirty cop or whatever. Those things happen. So it's not a for sure 100% ratio of guilty.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them are guilty. Let's be honest.
But the ones that aren't.
There are a very select few that aren't.
Heart-wrenching.
Yep.
So. All right. Well, that was it. That's all.
Anyway, now that we brought everybody down.
That's all we got. I'm ready for bed. And I still have to edit this really quick. I may try to do it super fast and in a hurry.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well.
Hopefully next week, one of the other two. Hopefully Seth will be back, maybe.
Maybe.
Somebody has to get research done first.
Well, I'm fixing to start working on one.
Yep. You have a hole in your pants.
Yeah,
I know. Have a few holes in your pants.
Well, you can't see my pants.
Because he has holes in his pants.
These are very old shorts.
You go and change your shirt because you had to be podcast worthy, but you're wearing holy shorts.
It's like whenever during COVID, speaking of COVID, when people would have to be in business attire.
Business up top and...
That's exactly how it is.
Underwear on bottom.
Exactly.
Guess you could wear your underwear in here. Nobody would ever know.
I would never do that, guys. I was already ambitious in front of the camera as it is.
Sarcastic?
Sarcastic, no.
Ambitious in front of the camera?
Yeah, maybe not the right word.
No. Yeah, keep making fun of me, Mr. Ambitious.
Hey, I'm tired, too.
Shy,
I guess. Shy. I was looking for a smarter word than shy, okay?
And you just made yourself look...
I looked really
dumb. Well, you guys have been amazing. Keep following, keep liking, keep subscribing. Find us on all the things. Send us your spooky, true crime, cryptid, alien stories.
Yep.
The Guilty and the Ghostly podcast at gmail.com. We've got a Discord that I'm kind of figuring it out slowly, a little bit, kind of, sort of, maybe. Go find us on that.
I know nothing.
Guilty and the Ghostly. TikTok. I need to get better at posting. I've just been... This has been my busy time of year, guys, but we're starting to slow down, so hopefully I'll have more time again. Maybe somebody else will be able to help me out.
Nah.
Probably not. All right, guys. Well, that's it. We got to go to bed. We got to get up and work in the morning and hopefully get this posted before then.
Yep.
So until then, stay spooky.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Ambitious.
Hey.
What the hell?
Maybe I meant ambitious dextrous. If Theo Vaughn can do it, so can I.